always that qualification. And if we find that God, Christ, and the apostles were qualified, how they were qualified, then if you and I qualify the same way, both as ministers and saints, God will do more things for us. There'll be more accomplishments. From the testimonies we heard this morning, much has been accomplished. Some people get tired of the Lord not answering prayer anymore, so they're doing many things. So we're not praying that God answer prayer, but we'd appreciate it if He would do still more.
Now note the fact that his
tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. And he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Touched with it. With the feelings of our infirmities. And he was tempted in all points, like we are. Yet without sin. And he said he was that great high priest that ascended into heaven and told us who he was. He was Jesus. Then he said, for to hold fast our confession, come boldly to the throne of grace. Listen to me for a minute. The spirit of accusation have robbed the many persons of salvation, sanctification, and healing. The spirit of accusation. The spirit of accusation have held people in their seats when they are the witness of God. The spirit of accusation have caused people to almost sit out. Hold fast our profession. When once you profess to be saved, only the authority of God's word, having obeyed it, and met the conditions, hold that profession. Don't allow yourself to be bluffed out, crushed out, accused out. But this song seems like written by Brother Warner. Somewhere in the verse it mentions that Satan claimed he didn't have it to testify loud. Why did he know? Yeah, Satan claimed my testimony. That's another fact. Now notice the fact, Satan claimed it's not so. But I'll testify all the louder. I want to know. Everything you get from God has got to resist the devil. And I'll stand by it when you resist. Even the healing of your body. So far, I've never yet, and I've had three major illnesses, which the Lord has lived. But so far, I've never yet went through any test to see how I felt after spread talk. I prayed myself until I was ready for healing. I presented myself for healing, and when they done what God said, as far as I'm concerned, well. It wasn't his then material to me, whether it merely stopped now, next week, next minute. That's why I got for healing all the time. I've never yet felt the muscle to see it gone. I had one son, when he was small, when he prayed for him, he said, Daddy, it's still hurting. Pray for him again. It's still hurting, son. Pray for it again. It's still hurting a little bit. You got to pray until it's not hurting at all. Well, he said it is. He already got it. Thanks a lot for that. But I believe we need something that's deeper than that. We need to get our feet planted on the foundation of God's word. Hold fast your profession. You're not professing because you feel like you're saved. Professing because you have obeyed God's word. Renounced the world. Straightened up your life. And met all the conditions of God's eternal word. And it has to be so. So hold to that profession. That's the kind of profession we're going to do. All right? And remember this. No matter how big your trial gets, how broad it might be, how long standing, how dark it seems, come boldly to the throne of grace. Whatever. Find grace, heaven, and time of need. Now, I want to begin now to bring a little outline to you. The only reason I'm bringing God and Christ into this is to lay the foundation to us as to in what way and in the manner we have to be qualified. And using them as a model. We know they're qualified before I started talking. Now God, the Father, is qualified to be the God of the whole universe in as much as he is the creator of everything that be. And if no man helped him, he created everything. Moses, the man who God talked to mouth to mouth, let it be writer of the first five books of the Bible, beginning with Genesis. Now notice how he talked about God in the first chapter of Genesis. He said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then went on down to telling all the rest of the creation. But notice how he began with God. He didn't say sometime back before the beginning of the creation of this world, God come into being. He didn't attempt to tell us that. He started with God. All the prophets begins with God in that mouth, but makes no attempt to establish any evidence of when God come into being. He always was, is now, and always will be. And it's clear out of our power or knowledge to make any effort to investigate how he come into being. He always was God. So we just have to leave God as God. Therefore, he's qualified, fully qualified, to be the God of the entire universe, over every man and everything that exists. He's qualified to be. There's another phase to God's qualification that's overlooked. God is humble, meek and lowly in heart. Jesus was the express image of his Father. The meek and lowly in heart. Meek and lowly in heart. The first comparing God and man after God made man. The first one to seek the other was God. Walking in the Garden of Eden, seeking Adam, why art thou? God is alone. He's not only qualified by his great power and his great omnipotence, but he's qualified through his humility. And makes it to be God of the whole universe. We could say more about God. In fact, we could just talk all day about his qualifications. But I think what I've said is enough to establish the Father's qualifications. Well, next, Jesus. How, by what means, and in what way is he qualified to be our Savior and Redeemer, and to be the mediator between us and God? In what way is he qualified? We find this in the fifth verse, of the 17th chapter of John. Jesus, in his prayer to the Father, mentioned the glory that he had with the Father before the world was. That indicates he is with the Father before the world was. And the glory he shared with his Father before the world was. It looked like we're about to establish him on the same basis of his Father in qualification. Because no man can go back and tamper with that. The glory he had with the Father before the world was. Before he had blood-wise saints, he had glittering, shining angels to which he was. By the visions, as I may wish of the visions. Again, we find in St. John, the first chapter, the first verse, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, this is definitely talking about somebody other than the Father, because it says it was with God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was right in the beginning, right along with the Father. And the Word was with God the Father. And the Word was God. So it wasn't God the Father, it was God the Son. In the 14th verse of this first chapter of John, it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as the only begotten Father. That's Christ. Now we establish Jesus Christ as being with the Father before the world was, right with him, coexisted with the Father. Again, he had the same qualifications as his Father, with his Father. These two texts is enough, and it give far more, to establish beyond question any shadow of doubt that Jesus Christ is equally qualified with his Father to be God of the whole universe. Now, I want to use this term, for the lack of knowing a better way of expressing it, let's call that one half of his qualification to be our Savior. Inasmuch that it involved more than just being omnipotent, all wise, holy, pure, everlasting to everlasting. It involved more than that. To be qualified to be our Savior. The angels are holy, but they were not qualified to be our Savior. In the fifth chapter of the Revelation, I believe John saw on the throne, the great white throne, the Father, the book in his right hand, written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And the voice cried out, who's able to open this book and loose the seal thereof? And there was none found in heaven, above heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Just couldn't find it. John began to weep, and I think I would have too. There's been weeping time for the great plan of salvation, the entire combined plan of salvation in his hand, and not one qualified to lose his contents and turn it loose, opened up for us. They began to weep. But finally, he heard a voice that weep not, John, said to that effect, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book. Amen. Prevailed to do it. And loose the seal thereof. Then he looked into the middle of the throne to see this Lion of the tribe of Judah. They saw a lamb. But it was a lamb that had been slain, killed, but is now alive. This resurrected Lamb of God went forth and took the book out of the hand of the Father into his own hands. In the 20th chapter of Matthew, after Jesus was slain and rose from the dead, he said to his apostles, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. It's in my hands now. All right? And this is what I want you to notice, please. From the way this is worded, it seems there was an angel in all heaven qualified, amen, able to open the book. There wasn't a man on earth, even Job, pierced in all the earth, Moses, the meekest upon the earth, Elijah, or Enoch, who was translated and didn't die the normal way. There wasn't a man on earth. And there wasn't a man in paradise, praise the Lord, that could be called back here to open the book and seal that off. There wasn't an unborn child that hadn't been fathered yet, that had ever been qualified. Now what are we going to do? But the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book and lift the seal thereof. Now, we examine the qualification of our Lord Jesus Christ. We quickly established his qualification spiritually. All wise, holy, never sinned, omnipotent along with his Father, amen. And shared the glory with his Father before them in the world. And he could share the same burden with his Father while he walked on earth. He was qualified. He is pure, perfect, morally, and holy. But he lacked one for qualification. He wasn't qualified in one way. Christ wasn't. Amen. He had to qualify to be our Savior. Qualify. At this point, I want to explain something about qualification. We usually, thanks to the person's learning, we know that's a great asset, major asset to qualification of anything. Had I not had some ability to read my Bible, maybe I wouldn't know what I'm talking about. So we know that our learning is definitely an asset. But there's something deeper than that. Jesus Christ was all wise. He's already qualified that way. Never sinned, he's already qualified. is qualified in as much as he shares the glory of the Father, the Holy of the world. He's qualified. Now, sometimes qualification involves weakness. That's what people overlook. And I believe God wants me to talk about that a little bit. When I'm through, then I'll let you decide whether God put it up or not. Here is the thought. Qualification, in some sense, requires weakness. It's too strong to be qualified. Isn't it? And that's what people overlook. Now I'm going to compare a woman and a man. God made the man, Adam's, take the rib from his side and made the woman for him. So says the Bible. And help me for him. Help. All right. Then the day now that some people say we turn it around the other way. Lord, all the responsibility is to help her. No, it's the other way around. Help me. I was reading somewhere, I forget where. So since I can't remember the source of my information, I'll just put it this way. The definition of woman, that the word means wife, man. Somebody else might agree upon that. Now, this is what I'm going to say to you. The woman's role in life is mother. It weighs out the same in the church. When women assume major authority in the church, I don't mean I'm against women, pastors and evangelists and everything else, but when just in a general sense, when women sway the rule in the church on its way down. I'll let that go for a minute. Hear the women say amen. But when women, I say, they get into power, they just rule everything, the only way backwards in the world, I bet you. It's only going up when men stand in the lead.
Praise the Lord.
That's true. I think I heard one of the praise the Lord. But now here's what we're getting at. Women are weaker than men by God's ordained plan. They're weaker. Yes, I know a woman's weaker, faster, and less than men, and weaker otherwise, too. Women are more childish than men. By God's ordained plan, they're more childish. But God's plan, we're not having a marriage council. We're just going to bring these few words in to make a point out. Women, by God's ordained purpose, is more childish than men. And you may touch quicker. That's right. Sympathize quicker. Break down and weep quicker. Yeah. That's not abnormal, that's normal.
Praise the Lord.
That's the way God intended it. I had the occasion to be in close contact with a young man who was considering marrying a very devout young woman. I mean, she's one of the outstanding ones. She's college educated. And she's about as deep spiritually as even the most people I know of. She's wholly dedicated to the cause of God. She's a good manager. Know how to economize. Met her obligations and helped the cause of God. Come the age of many others. The young man had begun to get distressed. He just said, I don't know what I could do. A girl like that, she agreed to marry. Said she excels me in everything I know of. She's deeper than I am spiritually. She's got more sense than I am in business. And everything I know of faith, I don't know any way that I can be a man for her. Finally, she come to a problem that was a little problem for him. And it just broke her down. She just wept and cried, asking to pray for her. So much so till he fasted 2 days in prayer for his intended wife. She got brought out.
The Lord.
So then she humbly apologized to him for being so childish. He says, no, said, you've helped me much. Said, you've helped me out. You've lifted my ankle. I found out that you're a lady. And I can somehow be a man. So that rescued him. When she broke down and wept under something he called a little frivolous thing, and he had to rescue. His courage, come up there, pleading with your husband. What I'm trying to say is this. God intended, and by purpose, treated the woman a little more childish than the man in purpose. That she might be qualified to be mother.
Praise the Lord.
Then, if she's just like the man, she couldn't, she would not be qualified for mother.
That's right.
That's right. She wouldn't even know what she's doing.
Amen.
I would know, I'd be a pitiful sight trying to mother some children. Well, now, here's the thought. My wife can recognize at the slightest illness of giving one of the children. She mentioned this little eye that looks a little dull. Numerous things she can see, I don't see it. But I act on her judgment. She's mother. Amen. The mother can feel what the child feels better than the father. She's a little nearer to the child. That is a blessing from God, but sometimes it's used as a curse in this way. Sometimes mothers take sides with the child. That happens. Mother needs to pray that you'll be able to not take sides with that child, because your thinking is more near on his level than the father. And God made it that way. In that sense, I claim that weakness was a part of the qualification. When I say weakness, I don't mean weak for a woman. I mean weak in compassion to the man. That's the sense in which. Now, the sisters know what I'm talking about now. She's weak in compassion to the man, but not in her own role. She's not weak, she's strong. Now then, this woman is qualified to be mother because of a certain trait about her that would be weakness in comparison to the man. Let's come back to God the Father and Christ. We'll find Jesus shared the glory with the Father before there was a world. He's everlasting like the Father. And so on. But he could not qualify to be our Savior until he somehow took on some weakness. Amen. When he come to the earth, I believe it says, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book." I'm quoting that pretty close to it, isn't it? A body has not prepared me. That's what I'm trying to get to. Now, note the fact that God prepared him a body. He was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived through the Holy Ghost. His conception was strictly divine work of God from heaven.
Amen.
But he was carried in his mother's womb for 9 months, born according to the law of nature. Thus he was born with human nature like all other men, the exception of sin. I mean, that included all the attributes of human nature, we call it that, including weak points. Amen. Remember Elijah, who prayed so until heaven was closed 3.5 years. It is natural that people would think he's a supernatural man different than other men. But James said he was a man subject to like passions as we are. His prayer life was the secret of his power. The same is true of our Savior. He was born to a woman, inherited human nature in every sense. He was subject to like passions as we are. That qualified him to be our Savior. Amen. He wouldn't have been qualified had he not had all the weak points we have. Amen.
Amen.
But here is the secret of it. He possessed divine nature and human nature. And when you are sanctified, you possess the same. Was it Peter that mentioned us being made partakers of divine nature? I believe that in one of his epistles. That's why you can live free from sin after you're sanctified. You've been made partakers of divine nature. Now, Christ, through his divine nature, controlled the human nature at all times. Controlled it. Held it in its proper bounds at all times. From the cradle to the grave. Glory to God. And was never at any time in error. That's rich, isn't it? Seeing then that our Lord Jesus Christ was made partakers of divine nature, was born with divine nature, and human nature. had to be so to be qualified. The angels wasn't qualified. It had to be a man like us. But it had to be a God man, God with us. Now, we are working on his qualification to be our Savior right now. He already established his qualification with the Father. He has that in there fully, all right. But now we want to get a hold of his qualification to stand between us and God. There's two things necessary. He needs to fully understand God. He needs to fully understand us. He needs to be able to feel just what God feels and feel what we feel to be qualified. So divine nature alone would not qualify him. He can feel what God feels. But through human nature, he can feel what we feel and share it with us. Therefore, it is necessary that he have human nature, human weak points. Therefore, it says in this text, he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin, all points. Now think of how broad that is. In every way you can be tempted, he was tempted that way. Somebody said, I know the temptation come against him, but he didn't feel like us. He said he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities and was tempted at all points, like we are, and yet without sin. Now bear in mind that for him to be qualified to be our Savior, he had to be constituted in a way so he could feel anything we can feel. Be touched with anything that touches us, including strong temptation. Oh, glory to God. But through his divine nature, defy all of it. And survive it. And come out victorious. He's now qualified to be our Savior. Bear in mind this, that Jesus lived up to that qualification. Everything that will ever strike any man struck him. Every enticement, a seducing influence that man will ever meet, he met first. He did not only meet it, but he felt it. Glory to God. And stood his grounds and come out without sin. Now he is qualified, glory to God, to stand as mediator between us and heaven. He fully understands his Father already and can feel what he feels. He has fully entered his Father's burden. But he had not yet been able to feel what we feel in the flesh. Be tempted and tried in the flesh as us. But since he's gone through that, and by the way of the cross and resurrected, now he has prevailed. Glory to God. Amen. To be our Savior. He's qualified himself to be our Savior. Maybe I should let you read a scripture to help that. In Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, in the 10th verse, someone read that verse. It became him for all things, and by whom all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now we know he was perfect in holiness, perfect morally, perfect in every sense, except through suffering. Now I've come to the point of the qualification I want to deal with from now on out. The qualification necessary to prepare Christ to be our Savior was suffering. He had everything else. He had to qualify through suffering. And that is the greatest qualification lacking in the church today, is the qualification of suffering.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
The present generation of the church of God that we know of, that's on earth, is now in power, in the leadership. It's far more qualified intellectually than our parents. That's true. There's many young folks in their early 20s and 30s that's more qualified intellectually than your foreparents was right now. But you couldn't hold them alight when it comes to being qualified through suffering.
That's right.
Amen. There's not only any comparison to you and your foreparents in suffering. Now this may sound like an accusation, but I think that may be accurate. That's right. I believe God wanted me to say this to a crowd.
Yes.
You see, the younger generation is in control now. There's few elder ones fighting the battle here. Even the middle age has been so taxed with responsibility till men from 45 to 60 is just weakening away under the weight of the responsibility. The Lord told me to come to church. Many are going in, are passing off the seams from 45 to 60 in that category. It's having labored and come down to the end and gone on to the wall. There's a young generation that's now in authority, already in authority. It's the responsibility dropping right down to your hands, gathering God. And you're far more qualified intellectually than your foreparents. That's true. But you're not near as qualified in the way of willing to suffer. I'm accusing the church now. Not maliciously, but constructively. That's what I'm after. Not as qualified. It's surprising what little suffering people are willing to go through. I mean, the suffering trials and abuse and forget you. Some people at a time missed up an hour trying to help them get over somebody didn't speak to them. That's the difference. One time I was put on the spot. I kept trying to get them to say, I said, well, they might not. Yes, I didn't see this because I told them, here I am. But then he gives me. What is that? The way to miss his time. My Lord was Jesus Christ was qualified through suffering. That's really what qualified him to be our Savior. Be our Savior, I said. He already had the power, the wisdom. But to step right into the breach and stand between us and God is what I'm talking about. He had to be able to know what we feel and how we feel. They'd be able to know that. And took suffering in the north. That's where he's qualified to be our Savior. Bear in mind this, that until my Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again, we didn't hear the words, all power in heaven and in earth is given into my hands. This is after he rose from the dead. He made him perfect through suffering. In other words, listen. Everything that has ever happened to you in your life, everything that ever will happen to you, everything that will happen to you grievous or any other man that ever lived, Christ has been touched with. You know how that man feels? By feeling himself in the flesh. That's what I want to say. In the 6th and 7th chapters of Acts, when Stephen was lied on to frame the lie against him to get an excuse to kill him, and they're stoning him to death, two witnesses witnessed a lie against him. We find that he looked up and the heavens opened and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. What's the matter here? He knew exactly how Stephen felt. Haven't been long since he'd done him the same way. He knew how it felt. Everything that you ever meet, Christ in himself.
Amen.
He felt it too. In the flesh, I mean. He had to be weak enough to feel it. Glory to God. Some people think of Christ as God. He can do anything, yes. But you must also think of him as a man like you. That is a part of his qualification. To be clothed in the body that can feel everything you feel. That's part of the qualification. And be touched with it and feel it and stand through it and survive it. That qualifies him to be our Savior. When you pray to him, you must remember why you're praying to him. He know how I feel. He have felt it in the flesh. That qualified him to be our Savior. I used to read where I walked the shores of Galilee, healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils, opened the eyes of the blind, scolded the wind, made his face like a child. But finally I read, when it is led as the lamb to the slaughter, sheep before his shears are dumb. Finally, I notice why it says, my God, why have thou forsaken me? I read in the 26th chapter of Matthew, there about 36th verse in there somewhere, why he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. He could feel what we feel. Everything that strike you, he felt it first. Every grief, every heartache, every disappointment, he got it first. You know how he feels. When he was in such distress facing the cross, he asked his apostles, disciples, to watch with me while I go pray. When he come back, he was asleep. He was in such distress, he wanted his friends close to him, like you may be sometimes. Those friends forsaken him, not maliciously, but through weakness. Amen. Finally, when he prayed through that third time, and the angel came and stressed him, come back, said, sleep on, take your rest. He did not accuse him wrongly. He said, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. That's the attitude he took. My Lord Jesus Christ was qualified through suffering to be our Savior. That's the way he was qualified. Angels, a different one, could have helped us if it could be done without getting into our category. I'll tell you one other thing here. That many people don't know. Most all ministers, without exceptions, is accused of many things they have no connection with. The more busy they are, the more accused they are. And ministers active all over the country, there'll be lies trailing all his life. That's true. But the church needs to learn to believe nothing without proof.
Amen.
We need to learn that. To believe nothing about the ministry without proof for it.
Amen.
That will accept no rumor. That's true. That's proof to me.
Amen.
I said something one time that I've never heard anybody yet. It's amen. And I think I'll still keep saying it, so you just keep thinking about it. I haven't found a person yet, say amen. I said if a minister in whom I had confidence established, regular preaching, carrying the gospel, living in the congregation where I lived. We preach together, pray together, lay on hands. If some morning, just about church time, he and his wife drive up, get out and start in the meeting, maybe he's gone in. She stopped and said, Brother John, I'm going to speak to you a minute. My husband isn't saved like you think he is. Oh, he isn't. No. Why, he just give me a whipping before I left home. And by the time I can get in, the man's already in the pulpit. I say amen like I always said. I never told you what to say amen to. I say amen just like I always said. And all the records ever did. And everything ever did before. But as soon as we got through, I take it aside. And I wouldn't say I kind of got it through the grapevine. I say, your wife told me that you whipped her. Did you do it? That's the way I do it. Then from now on, I act on it. You go to acting on everything somebody says, you find yourself handled by the devil.
Yeah.
Somebody says, yes, but Brother Chandler, that's my wife said. She might be lying for all I know.
That's right.
I've got just as much right to think she's lying as to think a minister's out with his wife. Amen. Amen. That's just as much right to think. So I'm going to act like I always act until this thing's proven. this business of hearing a lot of propaganda and closing up on somebody, the devil will just have us all tied to that.
Yeah.
I don't do it. Because some people say I'm a compromiser because I'm doing it, but I don't do it. That's right. Yeah. Take Brother Stover, I've known him for years. He could tell me anything in the world he wanted about it. If he'd land in Bakersfield, I wouldn't act one different than what I've acted all the time. When we got an opportunity, we'd say, I told him. That's where that'd be. We'll all do well to do that. You'd be better off. This business of getting all straightened up against somebody, you'd have to turn loose after a while. Let's stay straight to start with. Amen.
Amen.
I'm getting off on something else, but I think that's good to carry on with this. I want to get back to my point. Your qualification comes through suffering. That's what we're going to drive on. Comes through suffering. And that is the greatest lack in the church today.
Yes.
Willing to give, bow down and bear the cross.
Yes.
That's it. We've got people that's fully qualified, intellectually, and any other way. We have people in the church qualified for just about anything we need done. But we have a very deep lack of those willing to come right down and take the cross and carry her. That's the lack. He made the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering.
Yeah, that's true.
And that is the qualification that nothing can substitute for. If you were lacking in every other qualification to bear and read, but as fully consecrated to bear the cross, suffering for Christ, God could use you to the extent he supplies the multitude.
Amen.
If you're willing to suffer.
Amen.
That's true. We're living in a time now that if people's talked about a little bit, it just almost dropped clear. Not willing to suffer. The elderly sister told me when I was a young minister that when she got saved, her husband ordered not to go to church. She fixed his meals and everything like a woman's supposed to do and went to church. If I remember correctly, I may miss a little, but I can get the points at least. That's important. Think you come and got it. Lay the Lord down if you do this one more time. I'm going to give you a beat. Next time come church, she fixed everything right for him and went to church. When she come back, he just give her a good witness. Because she didn't say yea nor nay nor stop and quit. Just next time they went to go to church, she fixed everything right. When the thing left out of place, it meal in place and went to church. Went to church and got her, and he gave a whip to unmerciful that time. Let it only be worse the next time. She didn't say one word, made no complaint, didn't even say a quip. Next time he got ready to go to church, he fixed everything up right for him and went to church. And thought she'd enjoy church until he come and whipped her. Took her to whip her, but she got to stay all the way through the service. And she come on home. Didn't know whether to be a killer or what. When she walked in, he was just rolling and tumbling on the floor. Is that you? Well, if God will give you all that grace, something like that, order to do something for me.
Yeah.
That's the prayer for him.
Yeah.
So I saved that man. He was going to church and do whatever she wanted, he went back up
there. Praise the Lord.
There was some suffering there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. And then I want to tell you she's a mother, too. But how did she qualify? Through suffering.
Amen.
Did you notice my Lord Jesus Christ? He know exactly how everybody feels that's in trouble.
Amen.
The sinner man in 2 Corinthians 5:21 said he was made sin for us who knew no sin. He knew how the sinner feels. Romans 15:3, the reproaches them that approach thee fell on me. He knew how the sinner feels when things fall on him. In Isaiah 53:5-6, said with his stripes we're healed. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Did we see something here? The sick man, he know how he feels. With his stripes, we're healed. God know how the suffering man feels. Christ does. The sins of us fell on him. He know how the sinner feels. That's what qualified him to be our Savior. Let's go a step further than him now. Let's take his 12 apostles that choose to walk with him. Those men, there's no theological seminary on the earth that could qualify a man intellectually beyond those men's qualification that they got in 3 years. They not only walked with that teacher and lived with him and slept with him and ate with him for 3 years, but they beheld his works. They looked at it, saw it happen. When he taught them, they saw him do it. Isn't that marvelous? You go to Bible school and take a 4-year course, if you please. And they teach you all these things. That's not like walking with your teacher, sleeping with him, eating with him, and looking at him do what he's teaching you. I'm talking about the qualifications. Those men were exposed to that kind of instruction and experience for 3 years. Those men were qualified. Those men were greatly qualified. Qualified in any sense you want to name. They were taught by the teacher of all teachers. To give you an idea of how well they were qualified, in the 21st chapter of John, John said, if all of his acts were written, he don't suppose the world would contain the books. Wasn't those men qualified? These men are qualified for a special place in the ministry that no other man ever will stand in but them. And that's a plan. Founders of where we call historically. They were qualified for that position. They were qualified in a sense to write the law that governs the church. These four gospels is what I'm talking about. I'm calling that the law. I want to say it so you know what I'm talking about. They were qualified to write that. I am not qualified to do it. That's true. They saw him. They handled him. They walked with him. They looked at him. They were qualified to write what they saw. As a foundation and a basis for the church throughout all ages. That no epistle thereafter ever refuted those four gospels. That no revelation will ever come to the church in our day that can contradict it. Amen. It'll all be aligned.
Yes.
God qualified those men as the foundation. Even in the 21st chapter of Revelation, in the foundation of this great city, the New Jerusalem, the names of the 12 apostles were there. Was it Ephesians that said, founded from the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the Son of God? They were qualified by special grace. Qualified not by only by telling it to them, but by looking at it happen. They saw the dead raised and saw sick healed wholesale. Many instances said to heal everyone that comes to it. They looked at that and saw it. In most cases, we heal instantly. Sometimes it's gradually, but people lame who couldn't walk, it's healed and brought on their way. They looked at that and saw it. 3 years or more, they were qualified. Now, one other thing about the qualification. They walked and talked with a man in the flesh that never sinned once. They walked and talked with a man that never made a mistake. They looked at that. They lived under the influence for 3 years. Eat, slept, and walked and traveled with a man that never made one single mistake, never misunderstood, and never forgot. That's the way they were qualified. They would have never got that in the theological thing there. But they got what they needed there. Now listen here. If you live and walk and talk with a person that has no, at all times, never made a mistake, never forgot, and it will balance every second you saw it, will it make you something like this? Do you see why those men were so perfect? They were exposed to that influence of 3.5 years. They saw it done in the flesh and was taught how to do it. They were qualified to be the originator, the founder, so to speak, in the historical sense of the church here. They were qualified for that. But with all of that knowledge, The little more, the one other thing, they had to learn through suffering. Yes. Suffering was really the key to that qualification to carry out of their life. Suffering. Yes. Those men were chased and sisters, their backs were beaten. Oh, yes. Punished on every hand, driven here and there. They go deeper and deeper in the law. Christ told them when they persecute you one day, beat the other. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Here's what I want you to understand. There's somebody said something about following him. He said, the foxes have holes and the birds there have nests, but I haven't got one to lay my head. Telling the man that, they won't follow him. Look like he pounced up this. There's no man qualified to be of very much use to God unless he's willing to suffer.
Amen.
You're living in a world of sin, and the demons of hell is on every hand. And you've got to suffer to break the power of them. That was the secret of my Lord's qualification. For our Savior was his suffering. Made him perfect to suffering. There lies the secret of the apostle. When you leave that great training, was that suffering? That's the evil. We have people today whose parents were saved out of sectarianism and various other things. But they taught you from the cradle this truth. Amen. It's common knowledge you all your life. Never knew anything, some of you. Taught it all your life. If you can receive it, you're more qualified in one way than your parents were when they started. They've given you what they gathered over the years of experience. They've imparted to you. And you got it by the other. You're more qualified in an intellectual sense than your parents were. But you're far less qualified in the way of suffering. It'd be almost afraid when you somebody come and try to prove that they're not. So I get a chance to tell you. You're less qualified in the sense of suffering. You ride around an automobile, turn up automatic shift in it, you live in a home with running water, sometimes air conditioned. Automatic washers. Just pick up the phone and call wherever else, call the United States, say what you want. Praise the Lord. And your poor parents, some of them walked their shoes off, slept in haystacks, and on the floor, and got this gospel going. That's where it got to us. Rocks, feet, rotten eggs, thrown at them, tomatoes. To get it to us like this now. Some sacrifice all their material assets. They suffer. Now, you armed with the training your parents have given you, raised around the altar in the home, taught the way of the Lord. Many of them got even more schooling, formal schooling than this in fact. Because schools are more prevalent than was back then. And got too easy. Then take an automobile and reach one point to the other. 100 miles away in short while, but they take them days. If you're willing to suffer, there'll be something coming to
God.
If you're willing to suffer someday, much, the church will begin to move in a little while. I'm not like those who say, there's nothing normal. I know God's working miracles today.
Yes.
But we just want more of it.
Yes.
That's what we're praying about.
Amen.
When he has the claims for God to do this, he just asks for more. He is doing it.
Yes.
And if I stop now and turn him in the testimony meeting, for the next 2 or 3 hours, we can get testimony right in this group what God's doing. But we want more, that's what God's doing.
Amen.
I'm going to give the impression he's not working. But we would like him to work just in a wholesale way, wouldn't we? But you got to be willing to suffer.
Amen.
There's one other thing a lot of people may not have thought of. If God just start right today, boom, and start right out, forming great miracles and signs and wonders in a wholesale way, persecution would follow. That's true. Some of your best business may be drug out and killed, shot out in the mix, because that will begin to interfere with another thing.
Don't
you? Begin to interfere with the medical field. But I have had some sight glimpses all the time. Amen. But what I'm trying to say is this, let's get ready for what we pray for. The apostle was qualified not only by 3 years training, but by suffering. And this is what they saw. They looked at their master, live as he lived, suffer as he did, and they grasped the same spirit. Amen. They saw him nailed to the cross and died. Stephen's happened on his own blood. For I'm in his hour in great distress, sweat rolling down his blood, praying his father. They saw him go through it. And they picked that up themselves and realized that's the course we can take. Those men were men who suffered. That's what's needed today. It's a qualification that comes through suffering. Without that, all the praying to do was not going to avail unless you're willing to suffer. I'm not talking about stay sick and suffer now. I'm talking about suffering the cross.
Yes.
Amen. God wants us to believe that God will heal us.
Amen.
But I'm speaking about the general suffering that accompanies the cross. I want you to understand that's the suffering we're talking about. And it could even come to physical beating. I've been beaten already. From a director for the stand I took for God. Rocked, snuff thrown in them, and all those things. There's a little suffering with this, you see. Now, I believe we can see the qualification of the apostles through suffering. These men were qualified to write the full gospel, which lies at the basis of all teaching in the New Testament. I believe I'm right. Wouldn't we think that so bad? It lies at the basis of all teaching in the New Testament. They were the qualified men to write it. I believe they were so qualified until there was no error in their writing.
Amen.
I'm not talking about typographically. I'm talking about no error in that teaching. That's what the error is. Even if man is given to mistake, these men were qualified for a particular thing, and I believe it's without mistake.
Amen.
I think it's definitely found that even men did write it up. Those men qualified to it. Walked within 3 years, saw him, and beheld the way God used him. And grasp what he had, and live as he lived, and labor as he labored. They were qualified.
Mm-hmm.
Set down in writing to die for the church.
Amen.
And even their epistles thereafter, which applied to certain areas of the world, certain conditions, it did not conflict those gospels. The epistles of the Thessalonians, the Corinthians, and so on, the writing to people of different nations, and applied to their needs in that particular area, but it never conflicted the gospel. It stayed in line with the gospel. Now the gospel may be spread to people in many customs and areas of the world, but never will God give a revelation to any man anywhere that will conflict those four gospels. They were qualified.
Amen.
Leaving them coming to us. When I say us, I mean all ministers thereafter. Now the next set of ministers after the apostles would be their converts. Seemed like they were more or less called evangelists. But however, those who more or less were converted by the apostles succeeded them. They were very well qualified. They were qualified because they surrounded, traveled with, and labored with men who walked with Christ, beheld him, seen him, looked at him. And they got caught the influence of him. There's value in that testimony. Now, here's the thing I want to say. To a minister of the gospel, or any gospel worker who carries responsibility for other souls, you'll never be much help to anybody until God has allowed you to fall into circumstances similar to most anything you have to deal with. That's true. I believe that many ministers have been puzzled and wondered why, in all my efforts to stay out of this jam, the pressure didn't have to go. I believe many of them sit down and scratch their head and wonder, I'm afraid of that. Why is it all this? Amen. Then everything I knew, and still I've thrown into sometimes thrown into reproach. And you wonder why. Jesus said the reproaches of the reproaches fell on me. Is it that?
Take a minister whose burden is holy to the cause of God. Sometimes he's so endeavoring to help souls that he overlooks something we don't need. Find his love in the work and the life. And the poet falls out. No one would say that was the choice of these people to be happy with lost.
Maybe. The only reason
he fell under the pressure was to put himself out of water and his soul. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is this. Just as Jesus Christ was not qualified to be our Savior, that he has suffered every failure that ever strike us, neither the minister fully qualified. Listen to me now. To really deal with souls in the general sense, in all conditions, that he's subjected to almost everything that ever hit any man. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's only qualified. Amen. Then the minister can be touched with a feeling of what this person is in trouble. He knows what it feels. He knows what it's like. There's some things happen to ministers that just look like God wouldn't help. I'm talking about him and this. I've asked him, why would God let that happen? A consecrated, dedicated man looking like that. Yes, he was dedicated. Holy, living clean. But they needed a little education as to what the person he's dealing with has to deal with. That's true. That's your qualification. That the greatest part, most important part of a minister's qualification is suffering. In other words, he must feel what those people feel that he's going to have to. He must be able to be touched with the feelings of that problem.
That's so.
If you ever had one, how they know. My brother-in-law was in the World War II and was in the invasion of France. When July announced that the land in France, I knew why this boy was. He's more or less like a son, although he's not quite that much younger than I am, but I married in the family as a little boy. And he's an intelligent boy, but he now is a devout saint. When General Eisenhower announced on the radio that was going to land in France, he spoke to France, I couldn't stay in that bed. I got out of the bed, I didn't pray for him anyway. I just walked. Put everybody in the bed out of the way so nobody could walk. I walked, one in the house and prayed all night. I walked
back.
He got back live and he saved and used to God. And a good one. Already moved out.
But what I was trying to say is this. Some of his experience he told me was this, of his training. Before they sent him to the combat to do battle over there, they subjected him to some of all of it here. He had to go through everything he suffered in the battlefield. Then they even made him take his rifle, I think lay across his breast, and travel, I don't know whether he's got a quarter of a mile, but it's an awful distance, on his flat on his back. How is a man going to travel on his back? He's trained to do that. Trained to live under conditions he went under war. Everything he had to undergo in the battlefield, they took him to areas of in America, different sections of the country that's similar to the country he's going to. Subjected him to everything he goes through the battle. Then he was ready for battle. Did you not know that everything that God had in mind to use you for, all the conditions people are going to be under that God has used you for, He will subject you to a training that makes you fit for it. And yet, you know, no matter praying, managing, or planning, keep out of it if you're going to use it. Some way, somehow, that they throw it into the circumstances and pray out of it. Then when that soul comes to you in trouble, you know exactly what to tell him. You've been in it. We need to see that. We need to see plain enough that when our fellow minister is covered up in trouble, we're not set back and criticize, but we know there's something about it I don't understand and get under that burden with him. Get under that burden with him. Lord, help him to survive. Give him strength for it. Help him to come out of it alive. Don't let this thing destroy him. Play right through it. Then when it comes out, he's a better soul. Our
qualification comes from suffering. That's what's lacking today. And I hope that for this many people,
that what I'm saying, and if you don't get a lot out of it, I hope you'll take it home and look into it. And I believe you'll have to agree with me. The greatest lack in this generation of qualification is being willing to suffer.
You can tell the lack of willingness to suffer by the many homes that break up like that. Boy and girl, man, whom they love, and they can't suffer enough to stay with them. Have you ever noticed that? Can't suffer enough to stay with the one they love. That got to, almost got to tap me to keep me going. That's a bad spirit. We must be willing to humble our hearts and bear the cross. That's what's needed today. And willing to suffer. Now that's why it's all alive right there. That's it. But what I say to you this morning, and I trust that we've been clear enough, that one and all can get a hold of what they're trying to bring out. The present generation is much more qualified intellectually and in most every other way than Apple Pastor. It's a big thing for God. But they fall far behind them in that real humbleness of heart to bow down and bow the cross. Way behind. But I'm in a position to know. I don't just stay in one spot, I move around. Real time, and I want to say today. Sometimes we pray for God to save souls and bring in souls. But I want to tell you one good thing. If we can make an impression upon all the saved to the extent that everyone that's saved would bow in humble to God and reconsecrate for service. I'm already saved. But Lord, I dedicate myself for service. That means in my mind that I have to bear the cross. I wouldn't deny it. If it brings suffering, if it caused me to miss out in many of my plans for life, if I have a goal set, if I have to sacrifice that, I'm dedicating for service. Over at Bakersfield, 2 years ago, they were. Brother William was there. I don't remember when the storm was present this time or not, but I remember this. We made this appeal to the congregation. And we called attention to the fact that no less than 75% of the entire membership of the church was now young folks. And the elderly ones were just kind of dotted around among us. And I reminded them that the responsibility of the work of God is on you, whether you will or not. And I asked them, wouldn't they be willing to dedicate their lives to God for His service? They already lived His life. But they couldn't stand much, you know. And it seemed to me like the entire congregation there came out and all that. Those people didn't want not seeking salvation, and most of them weren't even seeking sanctification. They came to dedicate their lives to God for service. They settled in their heart, I'm willing to suffer the cross for the cause of God. And as many of them, it proved out in their lives. The pastor declared Alabama, famous parts of the country, had suffered and sacrificed, and one young couple sold their home and went out the way of the Lord. They consecrated for service. I don't get excited when they're told it, they're excited about it, that they got it clear and acted with a clear mind together. Now that's what we need today. We need an army of this young generation that is consecrated for the service of God. Willing to bear the cross, right on with it. Don't just read about the suffering that saved the dark ages when 60 million sealed testimonies on the earth and the suffering of the brother on earth and the original reforms of this Reformation. How it has changed and run and rocked and even beat and been changed. Read about it, kind of a marvel. But let's remember, it takes the same thing today. For the work of God to move like it did then. Now we may read about it and marvel at the wonderful consecration of those men of God back there. Let's bring it up to date and realize we are the children of the same saints in the same Reformation. And let's unite today consecrate for service to God and be willing to dedicate our lives to Him to the extent that I'll suffer as long as it's 7 weeks. I will bear the cross. Let's begin the suffering right in the home. Don't get all hurt and offended at the least little thing that goes wrong. Have some love, patience, consecration to humble your heart and suffer until things are better. And God will be with you. I used to wonder why that even saints that prayed and lived and kept true to God, spotless life, and seek the Lord for companion, sometimes they get hooked up with a person that they have to pull them all the way to heaven. I wonder about that. I thought the thing to do is put two strong ones together. Just go right along. Sometimes God lets God Himself put two people together. And one seems to kind of the fool down all the way. There's a little something that I want to look at here before I close this out. If God chooses to use you to, so to speak, pull a soul for 40 years and get it into heaven, that's God's own business. That's His own business. Many people fail to get the honor God was supposed to throw upon them. Our cousin in World War II, big 6 foot, very strong built man, heavy built, big bones. He's much of a man. They trained him in all this judo and so forth because he'd be in that theater of war over in the Asiatic. We got word that he was injured and looking for him to die. But finally we got news that he lived. And when he got out of the war, he was shell-shocked, of course. The hallway, he couldn't stand nothing. He beat up on people and released little provocation. But I noticed every time he got in trouble, the time he went out. Finally I checked into it, and he had such great records that he won the war. That is the leader that showed him the right hand. Hit an explosion of something that wounded him and many other men. He picked up 5 men one by one, bodily, and carried them to safety before he got 2 weeks to do his best. This is dead on his way. Now, here's what I'm getting at. This man's heroism seemed to follow him all down the line. But notice what he went through. After he was wounded, to the extent he thought he would die when he got in the hospital, he rescued 5 others. Let us not, the first time a little something hurt us, just drop out and die. The first time something hurts us a little, drop out. Let's go right on and rescue souls hurt. Praise the Lord. Let's realize I have a job to do that God give me. Hurt or no hurt, I have this job to do. If the tails flap under my chin, I'm going to do this job.
Help us, Lord.
Hurt or no hurt. I think people get hurt, so I didn't leave them to do it. No, no. We got a battle to do.
Help
us, Lord. Well, I have to go with tears. We're still going on. Now, I want to bring this point. Even though this man was wounded, he was able to pick up 5 men bodily, one by one, carry them to safety before he got to the end. And he did it. What about you and I spiritually? If God makes you able, listen to me now, to take your wife or husband and just pull them all the way there, and make you able to do what you can do.
Lord, help.
To make you able to do it. That's what I'm talking about today. And the more to what I'm saying, at least the more people realize. But I can hopefully go to thinking about these statements after you get through with this. I believe if you haven't already considered it, you'll notice something there. Now, over in where I live in Bakersfield, California. That's in one of, I guess, the biggest farming centers in the world. Many men have thousands and thousands of acres of crop. There's a man, a millionaire. He has equipment for everything you can think of, I guess, on this farm. He raises, has 1,000 acres of potatoes. And he hauls those potatoes out by the big semi trucks, I guess, made along with this plant. Well, they have the tractor part equipped it, where I can hook to either one of those trailers. Then it has a tractor, Caterpillar tractor in the field, that's equipped to hook to it. This Caterpillar will hitch onto this big trailer and go right up through the sandy field is rolling around on a little platform, pulling that load. And just think of what it'd be like when the truck trail along across this thing, filled with potatoes, no matter what he's got. But he has a house, pulling it right up through it. Suppose that caterpillar said, what's the matter with you fellas? Look how unfair you are to me. I have to back up and hook to this thing and pull him all the way up through the fields. But he's able to do it. He's able to do it. That caterpillar is able to pull it. He pulls it all in. Walk right along with it. Then when he finished, he pulls it out and stops pulling the roadway. Then comes this great big diesel truck tractor. Backs up and gets it and goes away and falls into the mile and able to put it. But the trailer can't pull itself. Now listen to me. God sometime will use one man or one woman to practically carry nothing through. Moses said one time, why hast thou afflicted the earth? As we carry the whole nation of Israel in my book. Amen. We must be willing to suffer some things here. You can't carry a soul unless you suffer that reproach. The reproach of the soul you want to help has to fall on you before you can help them out. You've got grace enough to suffer it if you've done it. That's what's wrong today. That's why the trouble lies. Some people have split a congregation almost, trying to get some of the reproach off of themselves. Man, I've got many people disturbed. I'm going to get this off of my name. But when you find out that you actually the scapegoat and the only way to save that congregation is to bear it, humble yourself and bear it. Be willing to suffer. God will certainly reward you for it. And many times over. Now, I'm going to say it is a fact, a definite fact, that God sometimes hangs one or more souls to a person. And that person is him. And for them to do it, they have to let a blame fall on him that should have been on them. And if he survives and pulls out, he's ready to wait for God. I've done lots of counseling in my life, and I mean lots of it. Almost all the time. But I've had more stuff pinned on me than another. I've got to write a book on stuff that pinned on me that had nothing to do with it. I got close enough to the situation trying to help somebody that it could be put on. And the only way to get it off of me is to spoil all the good I've done by exposing everybody. But it's a barrel of happiness. I've had people say, I believe what the time is better now. He's come out. And there wasn't any. But the fellow that was in it, his report fell on me because I got so close to the kid trying to help him. Amen. Now, if you can't stand to be blamed where you're not guilty, and got to tear up the whole congregation and community to get yourself clear, you're not fit to wait for God. Just as famous as the reproaches, though the reproaches are for Christ, that's going to be that way for those who work the soul. That's going to get around. You can plan all you please, but it's not going to get around. That's what it takes to help a soul, is to get that close to it. And there are many homes. I'm calling the private homes to help. There's many homes. But the person at the biggest trial is praying the most for us. That's true. And the one that's bearing a cross with that person is the one that's silent, living and fasting in prayer. Well, late out of the night, but even that companion don't know. They have to call him over God. But they leave it right in the home and close things to God. Hence, God's using that person as the instrument to bring this other good. Now, this is what we all can understand. If God has sent an angel to an individual to rescue them from any condition and to bear them away to heaven, you'd believe that, wouldn't you? You'd believe that an angel can do it. But you forgot about that God uses men for the same thing he uses angels for sometimes. That's what you have to do. Now, if God's going to give you a little angel's honor, by taking you and doing a little job with you that is used to do with angels, why don't you accept that honor? Now, my cousin received an honor of a hero that is outstanding. From the person of the earth. Sometimes the Lord will give you a chance to get him a little angel honor. By sending you to do a job that you ordinarily think to get you. Make you the instrument through which he rescues this person. give you a little chance to suffer for this soul. Barely throw away. If God wants to give you an angel on it, you'll take it. Many times, people have fought for the chance to become a hero in God's sight.
Lord, help us.
Because of what I had to suffer to do it. That's true. Many men and many women were saved as a direct result of the suffering they put their companions through and they stayed true to God. Isn't that right?
Thank the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Many a church is raised up because of the cross. Some devout, devout faith suffering. That's the true God. Now, will we not consider that the qualification as a worker for God comes through suffering? To be qualified just to be a saint, with no official position. I believe Paul said, was Paul that said, they that live godly must suffer persecution. I believe that refers to all of them. Must suffer persecution. And when he said must suffer persecution, rest assured that it's going to come. That's not something that might come, that's something that will come. That's what it costs to accomplish something for God. It always will cost that. And there'll never be a time that by any manner of training, a culture, education, that we don't get around it. It costs the same now as it costs when Jesus on earth to reach the soul. It costs the same now as in the early days of Reformation to accomplish something away from the Lord. And unless you and I are willing and humble enough to bear the cross, we are not going to have the success to the extent they had it. In the early days of the Reformation, will never happen. That no matter training, learning, our culture will bring us to it. It's going to take humbly suffering the cross. That's what it takes to do it. Now, if the Lord sees fit to use you as a trailer, as a tractor, to pull a soul all the way to heaven, what you got to do?
Help the Lord.
To confirm that a little more, you'll notice in the 10th chapter of Acts, there's a man named Cornelius. Centurion of Hebrew was fasting in prayer in the early part of the chapter. And an angel came to him and said, notice what the angel said, send over to the house of Tanner, by the seashore, for Simon Peter. Call him. The angel said, the angel is right there. Now we know in the Old Testament, angels brought messages for God. Angels blessed the people. Angels carried out God's mission. But now the church is on the earth, already established, with ministers that are qualified by Christ Himself.
Praise the Lord.
So now God's going to use a man to do what He used to do with angels. You see what's up? The angel said, didn't say, I'll bless you what you want, said, you go get to Peter. He'll tell you what to do. Do we see? God used a man that is qualified to do it. And the man came over there, Peter. God gave him a vision to let him know to go. And when he went, I believe Cornelius came to him and fell down the bow to him. He took him up, said, I'm a man. Amen. He said, I perceive there's no respect of person with God, but in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted. And he began to expound the word of God there, and while he yet spake, they received the Holy Ghost. That didn't happen while the angel was talking, did it? But it happened when the man was talking. God wants you and I to understand things He used to do with angels in the Old Testament. He wants to do it with men. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Right here in these earthen vessels. The tabernacle of the Lord is with men, so says the Revelation. God wants to understand, sister, church of God is established here on earth. God's kingdom here. He wants to use men that's holy, sanctified, willing to suffer the cross, the souls. He wants to use men. But those men must be men that's willing to bear the cross. Here's God to use that man to do the things the angel didn't do while he was there. And God wants you to understand, though you are in the flesh like other men, sometimes God may throw a man across your pathway, attach you to a person, and use you as the instrument to pull that person all the way through. As I close, I want to mention something to you. Many people are conditioned in a way that's difficult to live, say, after the born. And some people, amen now, are birthmarked with a bad disposition. Amen. Born that way.
Yeah.
And a very unpleasant disposition that creates much problems for them. That's a natural human makeup. Sometimes God gets a hold of one's condition differently, can give him power and grace to do it, and hooks him on to that trailer and pulls him through. Amen now. That's the can't be old, I just keep thinking over and look into it. The more critical he was, the lack more like he needs it. Hooks right onto that trailer and pulls him through. Praise the Lord. You say, yes, but God, Christ, the one died for all of us, but it's what Christ. But if God used to use you, choose to use you, what remains have you? When you come to all this, then you give your body to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Did not Christ pull us all through? Amen. Why is it that God can't use you? I'll give a little testimony here. I won't call any names. Throughout my entire ministry, I have been involved and connected with a few people that have watched every possible chance to reproach me. That's right. That they date back up to 30 years. That's how long that is. I mean, watch every move to throw a little reflection on. Every possible chance they get to cause me trouble to do it. I don't want to tell them. Mm-hmm. And if any kind of reproach come up, then no, it's not so. They'll join it and imply maybe so.
Well, that works.
Finally, I got to talk to God. Why don't you stop it? The Lord let me know if He chooses to use me, glory to God, man, as an instrument to help Him make to that His own business. And it is. I quit pressing about it. And I've even told some of you the time when I prayed that God would stop the agitators. And all I asked at that time, He said, that's not your word. And for me to stop the agitators, your concern is this. See, there's nothing in you that can be agitated.
Oh,
now you know that's rich. Since that time, I've endeavored to see that there's nothing here to be agitated. Now I'm going to, God told me that. Now I'm going to give my statement to you. The reason I want to leave God out, so don't you criticize God. Criticize me if you don't like it. I believe sincerely that there's two things every congregation needs for that spiritual progress. A good, skillful agitator. A good, wise pastor. Please don't have the agitator without the pastor. The agitator will help you find out what's the matter with you. You'll stir it up and you can say, oh, yes, he will. And then go to your pastor and get good spiritual help. And you'll thank the pastor that way. The reason I think that, I have never been to Curtis in my life and say the week when I didn't find an agitator before I got away from it. That's right. Now, don't it seem like, don't you see why I believe that? Now, I've traveled from state to state, from church to church, and I've never been in a congregation and run a week's meeting before I didn't locate me an agitator before I got out of that congregation. You there? Well, why did God let me around then? Let's go back to the first congregation. Christ was passed by 12 and it agitated in the bunch. Amen. Agitated among the 12. Now you can see why I think that. I'm still leaving it as me thinking. I believe that every church needs a good, skillful agitator around. I believe they need it. And I believe they need a good, spirit-filled pastor there. The agitator, the things about you that you don't even see about yourself. Maybe all boasting. I'm on the Barack part. But just a little something can stir you up. Well, the agitator makes you find that little something. Then this leads to your pastor and your history and the story of how to get out of it. It's a picture over it. So for some reason, God have allowed them to linger around the congregation. So then that's your life today. Don't be so worried about attitude being there, but turn your mind inwards. And thank God that there's nothing in me to stir up. He can agitate all it please, like the wind blowing on the outside, but it doesn't say anything in here. This is our picture then. And let us remember, as I close these few remarks, that even down to those who are not ministers, just saints in the congregation, we must all call our minds in from trying to know so much. Know all we can, I don't mean that point, but depending on what we know. But remember this, your qualification as a pillar in the hands of God is your consecration and willingness to suffer as long as Jesus leaves you to suffer. If it's clear on down to the grave, I'll go down and trust him. That's your qualification there. Take Job, who was a counselor for the nations and kings and rulers. But the secret of his great qualification was his great suffering. Oh, yes, there are. I want to tell you, those who are willing to suffer the cross, they learn things that could not be learned. In other words, learn things in a month that couldn't be learned in 30 years. Through suffering, trials, tribulations, crosses that come your way. Let you and I stand to me that the cause of God must have place in my heart. When you go back to your different communities, congregations, and localities, there's one thing I'm going to do. If God entrusts me to bear a cross, I'll never drop that cross. I'll stay right with it till he brings me out. And just a few times, when God begins to break your trials and bring you out the victory, it'll spoil you. The devil then can't just handle you anyway to suit himself, because he'll learn the full lesson through suffering. Now listen, devil, as I close out these few remarks, let me drop some of you that I've noticed through observation from one in this country to another. The ministers, the only middle age, the awful pressure and weight of responsibilities of the work of God, just bringing their physical frames on down the rock and wrecking the nerves and putting them apart. What's the matter? There's not enough people that's willing to act to bear the burden. I'm going to tell you, that's what it is. It's the congregation. Let us all get under the burden. I'm talking about the qualification to just be a saint in the congregation. Let all of us in the congregation stand by the humble minister that's trying to carry on in that place. Let us all bear this burden together. That every one of us get under the burden. Don't stand back. Say, why don't you preachers have more power? The use of miracles in time past. Did you not know in the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, it was not just the apostles that bore the burden. Those men of God went before the rulers and they ordered them to quit preaching in the name of Jesus. But it came to their own company and told them the threat of the authorities. But it said that multitude lifted up the voice like one man and prayed to God. They asked God to behold their threatening, stretch forth his hand to heal, and give the ministers boldness to bear witness of the resurrection of Christ. And that whole world is praying so, and that place is shaken, like an earthquake, and they're all filled with the Holy Ghost and the mighty power of God prevailing in the area. I want to tell you, let's quit this going around saying, I wish the ministers had more power. Here's what you need today. You need an entire membership to the last man, woman, girl, and boy that gets under the burden. They're all willing to bear the cross right together, live and die together. When the time comes, the God's people stand so solidly one, that the only way for them to wipe one out, to wipe the whole thing out, you'll see his power will be stopped dead still, and the church will move forward. Living the time now, for serious trouble, sickness, and other things, Christ of man, something I've got back. I've been seeing some little things about it anyway. He's getting a lesson now. Let's get him, let him get a lesson. I can't pray for him good. Come to me, Dad. There's the devil doing that. If a man is somewhere nearer, he needs you more than ever before. If he's not in the shape now, give to God. He certainly needs you to go to God for him. I'm going to tell you, the day is here when you and I need to stop that kind of foolishness. When pressure strikes one, then all of us get under the burden right with him in every way that's in our power and pray with him and stand with him and pull out of his burden. Because the devil has devised a plan to just cut us off one hair and cut him off from his helper and have him covered up with suspicion and question. Oh, yes, I know what I'm talking about. And call questions around him and maybe everybody's standing back. I guess it's getting left now when you ought to be out of the burden right within and pulled out by the power of God. Here's what Satan will do. He just cut it off in a little section surrounded with a cloud of confusion and could destroy one, then cut off another and destroy him. We'll let the devil meet us all as one body. Let him know when he lays down one, he meets the whole church. And I'm going to tell you, he'll find the power of hell will be broken. Now back there, those saints didn't say it, of those ministers, but use more wisdom. Instead of crossing the laws of the land, they wouldn't have been in trouble. They didn't say that. They lift up their voice together as one man and praise God. That's done the whole self-threatening and set forth to hand and heal and give them boldness to bear witness of the resurrection of Christ. God answered right then and shook down the place like an earthquake. And the power of God failed much in that place. We need that today. I'm going to say that you and I remember stand by one another in that trouble, in that sickness, in the mistake, if you please. Stand by this prayer. Though it might sin, but let's don't allow the devil to get us to pull off and stand back and look on. I want to tell you, we need one another today. The world is everything evil, is organizing riots and protesting and everything you can name is uniting the structure. And the time is here that the holy people need to be one. And together, as one man, able to survive the shock of the age. God wants to do it. So I want to say, let you and I today recognize the fact that to be a saint in the congregation of the righteous, you must be one that bear the burden right along with the rest. I remember one time mentioning the Bible that Moses, that great prophet, that God spoke to him mouth to mouth and his holy similitude. You and I would say, that man is so strong, he don't need our help. But one time when battle and the enemy was crowding in on the people of God, and this man was holding the rod up, I guess would that be the symbol of God's word? Yeah. But he held the rod up, and when he held the rod up, then he began to prevail against the enemy. But when his hand got tired and dropped down, the enemy began to prevail on the people of God. Do you see that now? That God's people was being defeated. But when he got arrested, he held his arm up again, they began to crowd the enemy back. But finally, two men went up there down the side of him and sat him on a rock and stood right by his side and held his arms up and won the battle. I want to tell you, we're living in a time now we need to get out of all suspicion and question, be in position to hold each other's arms up that the battle might be won. So let you and I today recognize that a need to be qualified as a saint.
God bless you.